Man, it feels good in here tonight. I feel the presence of the Lord in a powerful way. And if you don't feel the presence of the Lord, He's still here. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel? Going to read verses 6 through 13 of chapter 9. That's 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 through 13. Amen. I think we have Sammy sitting in the second row. If anybody else named Samuel ever comes into the church, I think we should call them Second Samuel. That was terrible. I'm sorry. I apologize. That was terrible. Amen. Second Samuel 9, 6 through 13. Let's read together tonight. Says, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Let's take a moment and pray tonight. Lord, thank you for your goodness and mercy, your kindness and grace. God, your many and continual blessings in our lives. I pray that you'd have your way tonight. Help us to hear from your word. I pray that you'd help me to preach your word, God, the way that you want it spoken. Let your will be done, God, and let it all be for your glory tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated tonight. So let me start by asking you a quick question. And the quick question is this. Have you ever been someplace that you weren't supposed to be? Have you ever found yourself in a place, and however it is you got there, you weren't supposed to be there? I'm sure you have been at some point in your life, whether it was a little kid who was curious and didn't know the consequences of where they were, whether it was a little later in life and you knew you shouldn't have been someplace, but you went anyway. We've all been someplace we shouldn't have been. I want to tell you a quick story of something that happened to me once. I was once shopping for Christmas gifts, and I was in the Source by Circuit City, and hunting for electronics to give as presents, Christmas gifts. And somehow, to this day, I don't know how it happened, but I just lost track of where I was. Okay? I was looking too closely at the things on the wall, and I was scrolling through the items, and I must have been looking too close, but somehow I ended up right behind the counter. And I just didn't realize that where I was. I lost track. I was looking too close. And I ended up someplace I shouldn't have been. Okay? It was embarrassing. And so the worker kindly informed me that I couldn't be there. And feeling thoroughly embarrassed, I apologized greatly. Said I was sorry, and I got out of there as fast as I could because I was really embarrassed because I just ended up someplace that I shouldn't have been. I don't know how I find myself in these embarrassing situations, but it seems to happen. Now, looking back at Mephibosheth, he must have felt simultaneously very grateful and very awkward to be in the position that he was in. Okay, you got to consider this situation. His father, Jonathan, was David's best friend. But his grandfather, Saul, was one of David's greatest adversaries. Mephibosheth doesn't know why he's here. He's just summoned by the king, and he's got to be thinking to himself, okay, one of two things is going to happen. Because of who my father is, the king is going to bless me because they were good friends. Or because of who my grandfather was, the king is going to kill me because they were great adversaries. And the first time he was there in the king's palace at the king's table, he must have felt very grateful, yet a little out of place. Like, David, you're the king of Israel. You could have anybody you want at your table. My family lost the throne. I'm not royalty anymore. Why do you want me around? He must have felt like he didn't quite belong where he was at. He must have felt a little out of place. And Mephibosheth didn't know what was going to happen to him. Okay, put yourself in his position for just a second. The king of Israel, the highest position leader that there is, summons you into his throne room, his house. You don't know why. He tells you, you're going to eat at my table from now on. It's going to take a little while to get used to that. Even though it ended up being a great blessing for him, even though it ended up being good news, not bad news, you're still going to take a while before you stop being a little bit suspicious and worried. And I think that's the same thing with us. In our lives, we find ourselves in a new and an unfamiliar situation. It takes a little while before you become accustomed to that unfamiliar situation. But you're going to find in life, God will sometimes put us in uncomfortable situations in order to bless us or to bless someone around us. So with that said, I want to take a few minutes to talk to you about uncomfortable blessings. Uncomfortable blessings. And let me tell you, blessing is not always easy. When we think about blessing in this life, we think about prosperity and joy and good things and plenty and my cup runneth over and joy unspeakable and full of glory. And all of that is true. That is blessing. But we often don't think about the challenges and the difficulties associated with our blessings. Living a blessed life isn't always an easy life. Personally, I don't like discomfort. I don't like being uncomfortable. And I don't think too many of you do. I like being at home, in my comfortable surroundings, on my comfy couch, maybe with a comfy pillow, with a nice, comfortable cup of coffee. Tea, if you prefer. That's my idea of comfort. And I don't like it when I don't get to do that. I don't like it when my routines get messed up. I don't like it when someone throws a monkey wrench in my plans. It's uncomfortable. It's frustrating. It can be hard when I want to do something and I don't get to do it for whatever reason. Or when I don't want to do something and I have to do it. It can be just as bad or worse. But sometimes we have to ask ourselves if our personal comfort is more important or if the need in front of our face is more important. Sometimes you find yourself in uncomfortable situations, and sometimes that can be very good or it can be very bad. For example, living a saved life causes a person to come out of sin. And that's good. That's the way it should be. Once we're dead to sin, we shouldn't live any longer therein. And after you're saved, if you find yourself in the vicinity of sin being committed around you, I'm not talking about you committing sin. I'm talking about someone around you is committing sin, engaging in activities that you know are ungodly now that you've come out of them. It's probably going to make you a little uncomfortable. At least a little uncomfortable. I mean, I've been in situations after I got saved where I thought to myself, you know, before I was saved, I would have looked at this situation differently. I would have thought about this a little bit differently. But now that I'm saved, now that I know Jesus, now that I know that there's a way to live holy, and I see all this sin going around, suddenly, I don't feel the same way I used to feel about it. Now it's making me pretty uncomfortable. Especially if it's a sin that you used to partake in. Especially if it's something that you came out of. And now you see it in a new light through the eyes of Christ. And you think to yourself, how did I ever think that this was okay? How is it that these people I'm acquainted with still think this is okay? How is it? Especially if it's something that you used to take part in. And now you see things differently, and it's around you, it's going to make you a little uncomfortable. And it should. It should. That's a good thing. That's progress. That's knowing the difference between right and wrong, where before you knew Jesus, you might not have known. You just didn't know. You start to see things a little differently. Or if you have a friend that invites you to do something that you know a believer shouldn't be doing, it's probably going to make you a bit uncomfortable, and your answer is probably going to make them a bit uncomfortable. And they're probably not going to like it. Again, especially if it's something that you used to say yes to and suddenly you're saying no to, they're going to say, well, you used to. Suddenly you think you're so good. Suddenly you're so high and mighty. What happened? And you know in your heart, it's not that you're suddenly so good or suddenly that you're so high and mighty. It's just that you found Jesus. And you learn that there's a better way to do things. It's not that you're so good. It's that God's so good in your life. And in these cases, that discomfort can actually be an opportunity in disguise. It can be an opportunity to be a witness of how good God is. It can be an opportunity to be an example that there's a different way to do things. It can show people that they don't have to live the way they've been living, that maybe what they've been doing might seem fun, it might feel good, but oftentimes it sure isn't the best way to do things. Look at the example of Joseph in Scripture. We read about Joseph. When Potiphar's wife was trying to get him to bed, he must have been pretty uncomfortable. I imagine he was very uncomfortable. But he used it as an opportunity to do the right thing and to show what the right thing was. Instead of giving in to temptation, he decided to maintain his integrity in the eyes of his God and to maintain his integrity behind his master's back. The thing about the situation was, he probably could have gotten away with it, at least for a while. But he used it as an opportunity to show the difference between right and wrong, even though it cost him his freedom. You know, the Bible never tells us whether or not Mrs. Potiphar changed her ways. But I would bet that she knew in her heart that she was wrong and Joseph was right. I mean, she knew that she was doing the wrong thing. Otherwise, she wouldn't have tried to hide it. And Joseph knew that he was doing the right thing, and he knew that he was being an example of what the right thing was, even though he was in a very tight spot, a very uncomfortable spot. It's one of those spots where you have a hard time knowing what to say or do. And I'm sure we've all been there too. When you get in a situation and you say, I don't even know how to handle this. I might not even know what's going on, but I know I don't like how I feel. Or how about, have you ever been in an argument between two people and they try to stick you right in the middle of it? Suddenly things are uncomfortable. One person saying one thing, the other person saying another thing. Well, oh, the best is when they don't give you any context and just ask you a question and try to pretend like it's a harmless question, but you can discern the subtext of what's going on and you know there's been an argument there. Yeah, been there, done that. I don't like to answer those questions because it makes me uncomfortable. It's like, I know you guys are fighting. I can see it. And you try to ask me a question like nothing, there's no previous discussion that's been going on. And by the way, usually in those situations, the issue is never the issue. It's just a symptom of a larger problem. But when you're around something that you know is wrong, because you know who Jesus is, it can actually be an opportunity to do some good. Another way we often get uncomfortable is when we know that we should do something, but we don't really want to do it. We know that something is right. We know something is good. We should do it. But maybe I just want to put it off till later. Maybe it's a little too hard right now. Maybe circumstances haven't aligned just yet for me to take care of it. Prayer can be uncomfortable sometimes. When you've got 1,000 things going on that you need to take care of, or if you've been feeling down on yourself, prayer can be uncomfortable and challenging. Okay, that doesn't mean you shouldn't dig down and do it. Giving can be uncomfortable. When you have to choose to give with a cheerful heart instead of a begrudging heart, that can be hard. You know you should do it. You know it's right. But something in the back of your mind is saying, if I give a little bit more, my finance is going to be a little bit tighter. And you know it's good to give. You know you should give with a cheerful heart. God loves a cheerful giver. You even know that God provides every need and that if you give, you can't outgive God and he'll be generous back to you. You know all that. And yet still sometimes giving is like, well, do I have to give so much? It's hard. It's uncomfortable. Obedience can be uncomfortable. Man, God tells you to do something, And if it's something you like to do, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. If it's something you don't really want to do, maybe, Lord. Let me think about it. Now suddenly you're making me uncomfortable. Now suddenly you're asking me to do something that I know is hard, I know is going to cost me. And then we get into the whole, well, is it really me, or is it really God, or is it really me? Hath God truly said? Sometimes it's never good to second guess God. If you know God wants you to do something, it can be hard, it can be uncomfortable to do it, but the best thing we can do for ourselves and for the kingdom is just do it. For example, when God told Moses, go speak to Pharaoh, Moses became, I think understandably, very uncomfortable. Say, go talk to Pharaoh. Say, let my people go. We're getting out of this country. And Moses' response, I think, was very natural. He said, Lord, I can't talk very well. I stutter. And if I go and tell Pharaoh, that doesn't make any sense. I've been living in the backside of the desert for 40 years looking at sheep. How am I going to go and tell Pharaoh, you know, the ruler of the whole known world, essentially, that all of his free slave labor is gone? And I'm just Moses. And I think any one of us, I definitely would have, I would have been a little uncomfortable. It's like saying, go walk into the prime minister's office and tell him what's going to happen. I don't even know how you'd get past security. I guess if God told you to do it, he'd make a way, but Moses was suddenly very uncomfortable, and yet God had a very specific and a very great purpose. And the thing to notice about it is Moses could not have seen what that purpose was at that time. He couldn't have seen the purpose of it until he was obedient to it. And so many times it's the same way with us. God gives us a word of something to do. We don't know why at the time. But later, when we look back, we say, oh, that was why. That was the reason that I had to be uncomfortable. That was the reason that I had to miss my coffee on this particular day. That was the reason that I had to drive to the other end of town on this particular day. That was the reason that I had to go help shovel my neighbor's driveway with all the snow we've been having. Can I get an amen? I don't like snow. I probably never will like snow. But I hope if the Lord chooses to make me uncomfortable in telling me to go shovel some snow, I hope I will be able to say, yes, Lord, yes. I don't want to do it. It's going to make me uncomfortable. It's going to upset my routine. But yes, Lord, yes. And when we do these things, we see that discomfort, unpleasantness, even sometimes pain, often leads to blessing. And the first step towards becoming comfortable in uncomfortable situations is to start diving into them. I know that sounds counterintuitive. I know that sounds a little bit weird. But if you want to start being comfortable in uncomfortable situations, you have to start putting yourself in them. The more you do something, whether good or bad, the easier it becomes to do it. If you start doing something you know is wrong, at first your conscience is going to tell you, this is wrong. I don't like this. this is something we shouldn't be doing. But the more you do it, little by little, that conscience starts to shut off. It gets easier and easier and easier. Conversely, if you start doing something good, it's a little uncomfortable at first, but you know it's good. Your conscience is saying, good job, keep it up, but your just natural tendencies are saying, no, no more. But yet, the more you do it, the easier it becomes to do it. And it works that way both ways, good or bad. The more you do something, the easier it gets. So if you know you should be doing something, let me encourage you tonight, try it once. Try it one time. And the next time you do it, it's going to be a little bit easier. And the next time, a little bit easier, until it becomes second nature. And you feel really, really uncomfortable without it. I know I've probably used this example before, but if I go a day or two without touching a guitar, I start to freak out a little bit. Because it's become just trained. I've trained myself to do it every single day. And if I don't do it, it feels weird. And I think it's like that with everything. You can train yourself to get into good habits. You can train yourself to have a habit of prayer. You can set a time every day. This is my prayer time. And if you do it and do it and do it and do it, then eventually, if you miss one, it's going to feel weird. And that's the way it should be with prayer. That's the way it should be with Bible reading. That's the way it should be with church attendance. That's the way it should be when we do good things. That if I miss a church service, something is wrong. My whole week is thrown off. At first, these things are a little uncomfortable, a little weird, but after a while, they become second nature. And have you ever noticed how when you don't really feel like going to church, it's usually when you really need it the most and end up getting the most out of it? I have. There have been times when I just, you know, I don't know, just felt like throwing in the towel on a particular day and saying, I don't feel like it. But I knew it was the right thing to do, so I went anyway, and it was the greatest time of blessing and spiritual refreshing and all of that. Another reason that we need to become familiar with discomfort is because we want to be more like Jesus. I think it should be the goal of every believer to be more and more like Christ and follow his example. And one of the examples he set for us was an example of being in uncomfortable situations. How many times did Jesus have showdowns with those Pharisees about what was right and what was wrong? And they thought they knew everything. And he had to prove that they were wrong, and they still didn't want to listen because they were stubborn and hard-hearted. How many times do we read about it through Scripture? About Jesus being in difficult situations. Sometimes they wanted to kill him. Sometimes they just wanted to run him out of town. And I think if we really want to be like Jesus, that we have to get used to that kind of thing a little bit. He told his disciples, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. Because you believe in Jesus, some people are just going to hate you. And again, I know me personally, I don't like it when people don't like me. I really don't like it. So if you don't like me, keep it to yourself, please. I don't want to know. Or else tell me in the nicest possible way. No, I take it back. Just don't tell me. I thought about it for a second. But in order to be like Christ, Isaiah spoke prophetically of Christ that he would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verse 10, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection,
But we also need to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Even when things are hard, even when things are difficult and uncomfortable, when pain starts to set in, I still want to know him even in the fellowship of his sufferings. Dying daily is not easy, but there's a blessing that comes with it. When we have to die to ourselves to live for Christ, it's not easy, but there's a blessing that comes with it, and it's always worth it. When we're in uncomfortable situations, John 14:18, Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." When things start to fall apart a little bit, when things start to get hard, we need to remember that we have a comforter who's never going to leave us or forsake us. We need to remember that it's God's purpose in our situation to bring blessing, to bring about good things. That God's got a plan for each and every one of our lives, and that it is his purpose, his intention, and he's going to do it. He wants to bring blessing. Even when we're uncomfortable, even when we're hurting. He said, "I will not leave you comfortless." Amen. And that is an encouraging thought. If you could come back to the music, please. I'm getting ready to close. It's amazing to me how God works sometimes. A lot of times, God works in a way that we might see as backwards or upside down. So many times, God puts us in uncomfortable situations. But it's because he wants to be our comforter. See, when we rely on the things of this world to be our comfort, our strength, our joy, it's always going to let us down sooner or later. But when we rely on Christ to be our comfort when we're comfortless, to be our strength when we're weak, to be our joy when we're depressed, he's never going to let us down. He's never let me down. And I know he's never going to. Amen. When you're tired, how many get tired during the week? I do. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that encourages me. Amen. I know I have some work days where at the end of it, it's like I want to bury my face in my pillow and but when you're feeling heavy laden and weary, Jesus said, "I'm going to give you rest." Every time we make a move towards God, he always makes a move towards us. James 4:6-8 says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." When you resist the devil, he's going to run. When you draw close to God, he's going to draw close to you. I want to point out that the opposite is true in a lot of ways. If you do not resist the devil, but you begin to flirt with him here and there, he will not flee from you. He will cozy up right next to you. You give him an inch, he'll take a mile. Now, thankfully, God works a little differently than the devil. if you do not draw nigh to God, I'm thankful that He's never going to leave you or forsake you. But at the same time, if you do not make a move towards God, He's not going to force you. He's not going to force Himself on you. It's not going to work that way. Again, He'll draw you. He'll call you. But if you don't make a move towards God, you're never going to get to where you need to be in His Spirit. He's not going to force you. But when you do make a move towards God, He's going to make the difference. He's going to start to do wonderful things. When you make a move towards God, well, I believe what the Bible says. If you draw nigh to God, He's going to draw nigh to you. Looking back at our opening text, Mephibosheth looked at the king of Israel and referred to himself as a dead dog in the presence of the king. He said, "David, you're the king of Israel. What do you have to do with a guy like me?" Probably because he feared David meant to ensure that no one of the line of Saul could have any claim to the throne. But also because I think Mephibosheth maybe looked down on himself a little bit. And how many times have we done something similar in the presence of God? How many times have we looked at God and said, "God, I'm not really worthy to sit at your table. I'm not really capable to be a member of your court. And I'm just not really good enough to be one of your sons or daughters." How many times have we done that? Been exactly like Mephibosheth, come to the king and said, "I'm just a dead dog. Got nothing to offer you." But what if we got our eyes off of what we aren't and onto what God is? What if we realized how much God wants to bless us and use us to be a blessing to those around us? What if we got our eyes off of what we can't do and got our eyes focused on what God can do and wants to do? You know, the Bible goes out of its way to mention that Mephibosheth was lame on both his feet. And so are we in so many ways. Lame without Jesus. In and of ourselves, spiritually, we can't stand. But again, it's the miracle that we get to be at the king's table. It's not because of what we can do, but because of what Jesus can do. We find ourselves so often in situations that we cannot handle, but out of which God can do a miracle. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. I'm going to close. So after we take a moment to pray tonight, I want to invite you to find a place of prayer around this altar, and I want you to focus on what God wants you to do this week. And the next time you find yourself in a situation that makes you a little uncomfortable, remember that you are blessed enough to eat at the king's table, even though you don't deserve it. But the King of Kings looks at you like you're one of his kids, and he knows how to give good gifts unto his kids. Amen. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and grace, your mercy, your kindness. God, your wonderful blessings in each of our lives. I pray have your way in each of our hearts. Lord, help us to focus on you when things get a little uncomfortable and things get a little bit rough and tumble. Lord, let your will be accomplished in us and through us. God, that the Holy Ghost lead us in the direction that we ought to go. Lord, let the Holy Ghost speak through us to be a blessing to others. God, let the Holy Ghost lead us in your direction, God, for your kingdom. Lord, help us to set your kingdom first in everything we do. God, that you would be glorified, that you would be exalted, that you'd be lifted up. Lord, that we'd be free to worship in spirit and truth. God, that we'd be able to leave our past in the past and, Lord, set our eyes on those things which are before us. God, be glorified, be lifted up, and have your way in each of us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'd like to invite you to find a place of prayer around this altar tonight.